in the service in our church, and in the message this morning. I'm not used to Emerson and Lisa being so far back. I'm used to them being up here. Everybody's got their assigned seats, and when you get out of your assigned seat, it throws me for a loop. But it's certainly we don't have assigned seats, but we seem to occupy the same one. Debbie and Glenn back there, they're usually over here, but as long as you're here, that's what matters today. Isaiah 53, reading this morning, the first six verses in your hearing today. Isaiah 53, 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And stop reading there in verse 6 today. And we appreciate you standing for the word of the Lord. I'd like to bring to you a message this morning entitled, Healed by His Stripes. Healed by His Stripes. Isaiah, the great prophet, the major prophet, a major prophet of the Old Testament, was called to be a prophet 742 years before our Lord came to this earth. 700 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Isaiah prophesied these words today, stating that you and I, without Christ, would die and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. Telling us today that there had to come one to pay the sin debt that we owed. And yet, we see that Isaiah said in that second verse that I find a little fault with this morning, said that there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. And I say the Lord, our Savior, is the most beautiful person that has ever walked upon this earth. And when you know him, he just becomes more beautiful each and every day. The world may not have found any beauty in his appearance, but I say, oh, what a Savior that we have today that was willing of this prophecy to fulfill it. We read that 25% of the whole Bible, all 66 books included, is prophesying of Jesus being our servant, our King, and our Savior. 25%, over 25% of this whole Bible. The rest of it is teaching us how to live once we are saved. And I think today that many of us need to read this book again and see what God has in store for us in our lives. Our lives are not just by chance. God's put us here for a purpose, and we need to fulfill that purpose individually and collectively. Not just go about our life, but to live a life that is fulfilling unto the Word of God. He said, by His stripes we are healed. In the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, as we studied in Sunday school just a few weeks ago, Brother Jack, We find that these stripes that he bore, where they scourged him 39 times according to the law. The Jewish law said that they could scourge one 40 times save one. 39 times that they scourged him, and the cat of nine tails typically had 12 thongs that was on it. And in each one of those, there was pieces of bone and metal that was made in, or embedded into those leather straps. And every time they took that whip and they put it upon the back of our Lord and Savior in a position that you see pictures and they think that he was standing up straight. That's not the way that they did it. They would bend them over a log. They would strip them of all their clothing. And they would take that whip with those pieces of bone and metal. And they would draw back and hit it with all of their force. And as they hit him, it would pull the hide right off of his precious back. If you take those 39 stripes and the 12 pieces of leather or thongs that was on it, you come up that our Savior could have absorbed 468 stripes. Not for his healing, but for our healing. Our healing. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and I, that we could have life and know that our healing would come through and by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He did not do it for his sins. He did it for our sins. Many of us, when we were younger, we thought that it was the Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus on the hill called Calvary. But this morning, I want to reiterate the point. It was not just the Roman soldiers, but it was my sins and your sins. Every one of us had a part in the death of Jesus Christ. He died that we might be able to have a Savior to call upon, a Redeemer that could come and save us from the awful torments of a place called hell and destruction. I don't know about you this morning, but I say, thank God I've been healed. Thank God I've been healed. You see, the healing that he talks about here is one that is oftentimes misinterpreted. Because when he says we are healed with his stripes, it's talking about our sin that had to be healed. Sometimes people will have loved ones in the hospital, or we'll have family that's sick, and we'll say, I'm going to claim the stripes for the healing of my loved ones. But you see, Jesus did not come just to perform miracles. Many of those that received miracles along the journey by his hand, they still had to die. You and I that's been saved, and many of you this morning as I look over this audience, many of you have stated publicly that God has saved your soul. And once you're saved, God, and even to those that are lost, there are times that God brings healing to these bodies. Has anybody else been healed bodily because of Jesus Christ moving on your behalf? But it's not bodily healing that Christ was concerned about. For we all, I think, this past week or maybe last week, a good friend of our church and ourselves, Harvey, some of you know him as Gene Smith, wrote a post, and he put it out there that every one of us is terminal. How many of you know you have an appointment with death? We all will face death. And if you receive bodily healing, you would still have to die. Ask Lazarus. He still, and all the others that receive miracles, they still had to die. God and his son, Jesus Christ, was more concerned about your eternal healing than he was about your temporal healing of the body. When we look at this, and 1 Peter, the second chapter, and the 24th verse, tells us this, that he bore the punishment for our sins. Every one of those stripes he took was for you and I. He took our stripes. We deserve to die because we were sinners. And some of you today that have never professed Jesus Christ, you are still lost and undone. But by his stripes, you can be healed on this Sunday morning. Christ traded our sins for his life. He was willing to drink the bitter cup. And there's a song that Henson sang in the late 70s, early 80s, that said that I could still go free. He took our sins and he said, Father, I'll lay down my life. Put yourself, your name, in this situation. I'll give my life for the sins of Ron Ball. Some of you this morning need to put your name in there. Eli, he did it for your sins. He said, I'll die on the cross of Calvary for his sins. And I believe with all my heart, if there'd only been a few of us that had received him as Savior, he still would have died for our sins. But I want to tell you this morning, God's got a host of people that have believed upon the report, that have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be scarcely populated. But there's going to be millions and millions and millions that died before he came, died faith believing that he would come. And there have been many since he came and died on the cross of Calvary that died receiving him as their Lord and Savior before that awful day came. And you say, how do you get millions? Since 1974, there have been millions of babies that have been killed in the abortion clinics. The doctors and the nurses and the family, that woman or maybe that woman and that man thought they had destroyed that child forever. Let me tell you, somewhere in glory, that soul will be there. That soul will be there. How many of you got loved ones that you know when you get to heaven, they'll be there? He ought to make us want to shout, thanking him that they didn't have to die and go to an awful place of hell. But they're waiting for us around the throne of God. And won't it be wonderful there? When we all get together, we're no longer there concerned about the things of the world and the things of life, but we're there for one reason. To magnify the Lamb of God who was willing to take those stripes for you and for me. He not only bore the punishment of our sins, but he took the death that we should have died. A death that no man has ever suffered like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered at the beatings that he took through the trials. And even at the time of being led up to Calvary's cross, all the things that he suffered. And again, another song comes to mind. He suffered it all because he loved me. Every one of us today, he loves you and he loves me. And I don't want to leave us that this was meant for just for the spiritual healing. I do believe God not only performs spiritual healing, but he performs physical healing. Have I got any witnesses to that in the house of the Lord? Many of you have been receivers of that healing. And I think that today that there is no other name where healing can come except through and by the name of Jesus Christ. He is my healer, and He is your healer today. I believe that Jesus healed many while He was here on this earth. We read about the lepers and the blind and the crippled and the withered hands and the deaf ears, all of these that were sicknesses and diseases. And I know, because some of you have already testified by saying amen, that He is still performing miracles today. But the greatest of all needs is not a physical healing. We have a list, and I've got it taped down, or otherwise I'd hold it up and show it to you. But we've got a long list of people that need healing. But if I ask every one of you to tell me about somebody you know that needs spiritual healing, our list would be even longer. Amen. But I've come to bring you good news this morning. Every name that's on that list, God knows every one of them. He knows you this morning that are here that have never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And you know, He would, if today what He would say to us is, I died for them just like I did you. None of us ought to think more highly of ourselves than we should. We all were sinners. Every one of us was an outcast. But praise God, He suffered it all. So through the healing of His stripes, we could stand before us each other today and say, I know that I'm saved beyond a shadow of doubt. I believe today in healing. I do. I've never, to my knowledge, had any sicknesses except for that biopsy when I was young, where they thought I had leukemia. I've never had any sicknesses that I know of, Brother Wayne, that God has healed me from. Now, I said that I know of. How many of you know Satan has come to try to destroy you even while you're alive? And God could have already performed a miracle that you know nothing about. Amen. But one thing I do know, I may not have received the physical healing, but in 1972, I received the greatest of all miracles when I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save my dying soul. It was His stripes, His willing to go to the cross and die for me, that saved my dying soul. How many of you remember the day that the Lord saved you? And I have to ask you on a Sunday morning, was it not the greatest miracle? The greatest thing you ever received in this life? You're awful happy right now because you got the ring. But let me tell you, greater than family, greater than friends, greater than job, greater than homes and cars and bank accounts was the day that Jesus Christ saved my dying soul. All these other things will perish and we'll leave them behind, Brother Wayne. But I got something and you got something at an old-fashioned altar that will go with us beyond the grave. It'll go with us into that eternal home that God prepared for us. And we'll go in there and not brag about what we did. But if somebody asks you when you get there how you made it, you just have to say, I was healed by His stripes. He's the one that did the healing that I needed. Not only do I believe in healing, but I believe in angels that watch over us. God never saved anybody and then just turned them out to pasture to be on their own. But He put angels round about us to protect us along this journey, because what God heals, Satan tries to destroy. God saved us. He saves your soul. Satan tries to destroy the body and the mind to take away the blessing that God has given to us. But I said this many years ago in a message. Sister Mossy Meadows, I went over there at hospice to be with her. in her last hours. And even while she was there and had not talked with the family for days, she was in the last hours of her time here on earth. But even though she couldn't talk, she still had that Pentecostal holiness hand. She would laying there on her deathbed and she still had that hand a shaking. She saw something that you and I can only try to entertain. She saw the outcome of the stripes that healed her as a young lady. Folks, today we may lose a lot of things along this journey, but one thing you will never lose is a saving of your soul by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart, once saved, always saved. Amen. When God does a work, He does it completely. You'll never have to go back and get a second dose or a third dose. I got it all. And He keeps on bringing more and more blessings along our journey. I believe in the Holy Spirit, don't you? Because Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but when I leave here, I'll pray to the Father, and He'll send you the Comforter to guide us along this life. I have somebody with me who knows the way, who shares my load, who helps us each and every day along this journey. The Bible teaches us this morning that the healing that we have in 1 Peter, it refers to our sins and righteousness and not diseases or sicknesses. Yes, God does heal of those. But the people that's in the hospitals, the people that's in hospice today, even some of you this morning, you think you have a long road ahead of you. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. A guy was sharing with us at work, and Terry, I don't know her name this morning, but she was in her mid-30s. And this past week was her funeral, because she had what is known as a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot that went through her heart and to her brain and killed her. She no doubt had plans for the next day. You know what death does? It cancels all of our plans. The door is closed. You say, Roger, that's a sad story. Yes, Satan don't care who you are. He don't care what your name is and what family you come from. Job said we all have an appointment with death. I don't fear death. I fear the journey to death, because I've not walked there before. But I know this. One day, I'm going to hear that call. But don't you weep for me as one that has no hope, because I've been healed. I've been healed by the Spirit of God. My soul, Tara sings that song every once in a while, it is well with my soul. No matter what might happen in this life, what we may have to face tomorrow or this week, the Bible teaches us that we are healed of the guilt of our sins. Amen. You see, man talks about two types of guilt. One is conviction. The other is condemnation. The conviction that came in an old-fashioned Baptist church. The conviction comes by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. Aren't you thankful that there's something that draws us to the Lord? Let us know that it's real. If there was no Holy Spirit, how would you know that it was real? I joined the church. There's a record of that. But that church has since been closed up, and the records may one day be destroyed. But my Lord keeps a record. My name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And for that I say, thank you, Lord. You see, the other is condemnation that the enemy brings against us. How many times has Satan brought up past wrongs that you've done? And I want to preach this morning, every one of us has a past. Y'all didn't hear me. Every one of us has a past. We've got sins that we have committed in the past. And Satan will not let us forget those past mistakes. But you know what I have to say to him today? By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes. The Lord took our sins and put them as far as the east is from the west. God will never bring up your past. He'll never bring it up. Amen. Satan will bring it up to try to rob you of the joy of your salvation. If there's one that can stand up and say, I have no past, the Bible says he or she would be a liar and the truth would not be in them. Amen. Not only that, we are healed because Jesus understood our sufferings. He knew us before we was. I said, Becky's kids, Becky and my kids are all here today. Well, I can't say that. Becky had a miscarriage. And we have a daughter that's buried over in Green Lawn Cemetery. One day, I'll get to say that. Some of you might say, do you really consider a miscarriage a soul? If there's life, it's a soul. Amen. Amen. But I'm thankful for the ones that are here this morning and the grandkids that are here, because they need to know, when comes my time for leaving, there'll be no need for grieving. For when Jesus calls for us, we all must go. But at my separation, just have a celebration. Yes, because I'm going to a better place and see the one who made my healing possible today. Jesus knew that we were sinners. Since the fall of Adam, every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever walk on this earth has been a sinner. Everyone. Except for Jesus himself. Some would say, what about Mary? Mary was a sinner. Some of you not going to amen me. Mary was flesh just like you and I. Mary was a woman that God chose to bear her son. Does it make her any different than any other woman that has had children, or even those that have not had children? Didn't know I was going to get into theology this morning, but that's all right. The only one that we can really pray to is the one who bore our stripes. He's the only one. People say, I'll pray to God. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus Christ. He knew that we was all sinners and that we would all die and go to a devil's hell. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelations that the heavens were searched and the earth was searched and beneath the earth was searched. And no one was found worthy to bear those stripes that we might be healed. But there was a voice that cried out through heaven, hallelujah, that said, Father, I'll go. God didn't make Jesus come. He chose to come that we would be saved from hell and destruction. He knew that we was on that broad road that led downward. We are healed because Jesus makes us whole. Through our faith, Jesus makes us whole. Can I put this in? Jesus can make you whole whether you believe it or not. Some folks say, and I've heard this many times over the years, the Bible says it, I believe it, and it makes it so. I come to preach this morning. If the Bible says it, doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's still the truth. Amen. Scripture says, let the word of God be true and every man a liar. He makes us whole. Ask Bartimaeus if he did not make him whole. Ask the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Where are thine accusers? I have none. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. See, she was healed by those stripes. And every one of us needed a healing. Jeff, I can't explain it other than because of the fall of Adam, every one of us, sin was pronounced upon our lives. You do not have to teach a little child how to lie. It comes natural, does it not? Gavin, this week, I forget what day it was, he'll get upset with me. He says, what happens if I lie? I said, you get in trouble. Even at his young age, so innocent. He is so innocent in so many different ways. But yet, even little kids, even a baby. You ever seen a baby cry thinking that they're hungry and all they want you to do is pick them up and hold them? Some of y'all spoiled them. Amen. And I tell Gavin all the time, Becky spoiled him. He calls her Becky, by the way. Beck. I say, Beck spoiled you. He said, no, you did. And if I spoil him, it's because God has spoiled me. But we all need healing. Every one of us. There's not a one of us that can say, I made it by my own way. I made it. Because I changed my way. You can change your way today and tomorrow, change it back. But how many of you know, once God has saved you, you can't get rid of it? Oh, let me park there for a minute, can I? You cannot get rid of what God has done in your soul. You may try to camouflage it. You may try to hide it. You may not want others to know the good thing that God has done, because it might cost you a friend, it might cost you a promotion, it might cost you things in this life. But let me tell you, sooner or later, it's bound to come out. It's bound to. Some say, I'm going to hide it because I've not lived right. God knows that. Do you think you've ever done anything that God don't know about? I would ask you, how many of you got those deep, dark secrets? But if you said amen or raised your hands, you'd have to answer to somebody after church. Right? So I'm not going to ask you. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God that only a Savior knows about. He knows about. And some, Brother Holcomb, might even forget some of the things that they've done, unless somebody else comes along and reminds them of it. You ever had somebody telling you a story? They say, you was there, don't you remember? And you say, I don't remember. And then it comes back. God knows all about that. You cannot hide anything. from God. And then in my closing this morning, more important than anything else, you need a spiritual healing. You need a spiritual healing. Some of you this morning, God has already saved you, and you know that you are saved. But your life and life itself has drawn you back into sin. You might not be a bad person, as the world would say bad. How many of you know good people that are still lost and undone? And even good people that are saved, but they're away from God. But that doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. You've turned your back on God. And you know what God would say to you on this Sunday morning? It'd be like the prodigal son that the father seen afar off. He did not wait for the son to get back to the house, but he took off running to where the son was at. How many of us today know and will confess that there's been times God has come after me and brought me back to his household? Not that we got lost, but we got out there in sin. That son wasted all that he had with riotous living. In other words, he was enjoying the things of the world until all that he had was gone. And then he remembered his father. I ask you to remember God this morning. And most of all, you that are lost and have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Every stripe, he had you and you and you. He had all of us on his heart and on his mind. We used to sing a song, Brother Rick, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He loves you this morning. He loved you so much, as Robin Sharon gets us a song of invitation. He loves us so much that he said, Father, I'll go and pay the price for their sin. I'll pay that price. Not just for you, but Lisa, he paid it for me. I am debt free to sin because Jesus, his stripes healed all the sin that I had. And yet, even after we're saved, we still come short, do we not? But you know what? This morning, church, this isn't preached much from the pulpits. Not only did God save us from our past sins and our present sins, but he saved us from our future sins. Hallelujah. Because God knew the nature is that we were like the hog, we would go back to the mud. He knew that we was like the dog that returned to its vomit. He knew that we would come short. But I'm so thankful this Sunday morning that his healing not just covered the past, but it covers the present and the future. Sister Joan, that'll make us rejoice this morning in our spirit to know that we can never do anything that God won't forgive us of unless we've sinned away our days of grace. Everything else, for you that and I that still have lost loved ones, don't give up. Christ bore those stripes for their healing also. And as long as he is on the throne, there is still hope for that dying soul. While we stand and Rachel sings this song for us this morning, I ask you, will you accept his healing for your sin? Will you accept him right now while she sings? Yes, not just for the good, but for all. Yes. in need. You need salvation this morning. Yes. Sing it this morning, church. You know this chorus. Yes. Amen. By His stripes, we are healed. His stripes. Follow your heart this morning. God is inviting you right now to be healed. Why don't you step out and receive Him? While the invitation is here, step out and receive the Lord. Listen to this. What did I do? It goes back to Adam and the fallen nature of man. Satan's got you locked up. But God can set you free if you'll just receive Him. Yes. Sing it this morning, church. Sing it from your heart. Thanking the Lord that He has healed you from that sin curse. Yes. Bless you, brother. Anybody else this morning? No. God saved you and forgave you of your sins. Don't know why He loved us so much, but I'm glad He did. Aren't you? Go ahead. Sing it. One more verse. Somebody needs to move this morning. Follow your heart this morning. While God is speaking to you. You might say, well, I've already stepped forward in times past. And I joined the church. It don't matter if you join the church. You have to be born again. Born again by the Spirit. To where you can receive the healing once and for all. Yes. Thankful this morning. He sets us free. By His stripes, we are healed. Yes. Amen. Bless you, Rachel. 11-year-old when I got saved. Some people say you're still confused. I was saved at 72, but I was still 11-year-old. I didn't know that till a few years back. So I always said I was 12, but I was actually 11. At 11-year-old, I wasn't a drunkard. I had not killed anybody. I was not out running the streets and doing dope and other things. But yet, if I would have died after God knocked on my heart's door and I turned Him away, I would have been bound forever to a devil's hell. How many of you are thankful that God come by a second or a third time? Amen? Amen. Fourth time. Maybe some of you a dozen. I don't know. But I'm glad that His mercy was extended to us. And because of that today, I've been trying to thank Him for the gift that He has given to me and trying to get others in before it's everlasting too late. God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed being to the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning. Thankful for everyone that's come out to be with us today. And Jack, we still got to talk. I know they're all excited, you know, about their engagement, and certainly it is a. How many of you remember your engagement? Yeah, you better raise your hand. Yeah. Yes. And it's one of the best things that can happen in life. And thankful that we still have some that understand the oath and the responsibility that go with marriage. We invite all of you to come back and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother David's supposed to be with us tonight to preach, so be much in prayer for him. And we're looking forward to hearing a word from the Lord through this young preacher. And then also invite all of you to come back and be with us each and every time that you can. Want to encourage you, set the clock a little early and come out for Sunday school. We had a good Sunday school discussion this morning, and it's important that we grow together in the Word of God. So God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Get you a good meal. Get you a nap if you need it, and come back tonight ready, prayed up to worship the Lord.